This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
The Lord Jesus bless you, my dearly beloved. In your Bibles, the book of Luke, the first chapter, please, the 37th verse. I would love for you to take that into consideration. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. I wonder, as you turn there, because the Lord has placed a beautiful vision on the heart of our pastor, reminding us that we are moving into a wonderful place. We are crossing a spiritual Jordan, and I'm wondering if we were to go back to that place where the children of Israel were just beginning to cross the Jordan River after a certain amount of time of wandering in the wilderness. The Bible suggested that initially God wanted to bring his people into a certain place, and it would have only taken a very short amount of time, but at a certain stage, they began to concern themselves with whether or not God was able to keep their children. That was their chief concern. Was God able to do with my children, with my son, with my daughter, this thing that he said that he would do? And they had come to the conclusion that he was not able to do it. And they spoke these things out. They spoke these things to one another. And they spoke these things in the very presence of their children. Now, this displeased the Lord. And God said, I'm going to prove that I can keep your children. And he actually overleapt that particular generation and brought the children into the promised land. To that generation that chose not to believe, they wandered in the wilderness until they died. But the children were brought into the promised land. Besides those people who died, there were two people who remained alive, one Joshua, the other Caleb. And these people were in their 80s by the time they were going into the promised land. And I'm just wondering if we had interviewed Joshua or Caleb on that day that they were going into the promised land, and we asked them one question and said to them, could you give me one word of advice? What would you say to us as we go into this promised land? Their response would probably be that if God is telling you that he knows how to keep your children, if God is telling you that he knows how to fulfill the promise that he has made to you regarding your children, if God is saying to you that you can believe him to bring your children into a land flowing with milk and honey, then you can put all of your hope and all of your trust and all of your faith in him. Because with God, nothing will be impossible. Hallelujah. We heard that today in that wonderful song, when nobody else can do it, children, God can. And when nobody else can do it for your children, God can. The idea was that if you are going to go into this promised land, you must go in with this one thing locked into your heart and into your mind. That God has made a promise to you that not one hoof would be left behind. that not one child would be left behind, that no one would be left behind. But whenever God says that He is bringing a people into the promised land, they are going in with everything that they need to offer sacrifice to God, and they're going in with their sons and with their daughters. They are going in with their little ones. They are going into the promised land, and their children are not going to be left by the wayside. What the Lord is saying in this case is that when nobody else can do it, when you and I can't do it, when the society says our children cannot be saved, cannot be redeemed, when nobody else can do it, children, God can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the book of Luke, the first chapter, the 37th verse, we hear a word that should penetrate to the very depths of our soul. A word that if we cling to, not only will we enter into this promised land, but we will bring our children in with us. We will believe on the name of the Lord our God, and we will be saved and our children along with us. He says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." I want to talk to you tonight, my dearly beloved, on this topic. When parents prophesy, there comes a time in the life of every young person when they must hear the prophetic word of mommy or daddy or whoever God has chosen to raise them, that they have a call upon their life. There comes a time when it is not enough for them to hear it from a pulpit like this, even though it is a wonderful thing that they hear it from such places. When it is not enough for them to hear it in their Sunday school, even though it's a wonderful thing that they hear it in such places. Every now and again, my dearly beloved, there comes a time when a young person must hear from the mouth of that person who God has caused to raise them up, that there is a call from God upon their life, and that God is able to bring them into wonderful places, and that He is able to do great things in their life. When you concern yourself with the first chapter of the book of Luke, you are confronted with the wonderful Christmas story, and you hear about a certain man who had been a priest in the house of Levi for all of his life now, well stricken in years and probably getting a wonderful opportunity, probably a one-time opportunity to burn incense in the holy place in the presence of the Most High God. And he goes into that place as a man who had been praying for the deliverance of Israel and believing God for mighty things. The Bible said that he and his wife were godly people, that they were good people, that they were people who put their faith and their trust in God and believed in Him with all of their might. The Bible said that they were righteous and godly and blameless in the sight of the Most High, but they had no children. And he walked into that place to burn incense before the Lord. And when he got into the holy place, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and began to talk to him about how God heard his prayers. His prayers for the house of Israel, that the house of Israel might be saved, but also for his own self and his own wife and his own family, that God would give him a son. And after all these years of praying, he heard a word from God. And God said through the messenger, "I have heard your prayer, and I am going to give you a son. And he is going to be a mighty man. He's going to be a good man. He's going to be one of those kind of people that you hear prophesied about in the old covenant." He heard Isaiah say some things about him, and he heard Malachi say some things about him. This is going to be a good man, and he's going to be useful in the hands of God to bring fathers back to children, to bring households back to God, to cause men and women once again to rejoice in the name of the Lord. He began to hear all of these wonderful things from the voice of God about what kind of a son he would have. But the Bible says that he began to concern himself with his own inadequacies. And he began to say, how can this thing be, seeing that I am an old man, well, stricken in years? He began to say, in essence, this is something that is beyond me. You're telling me that my son is going to be a good man. That my son is going to be a great man. That he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That he's going to be useful in this generation to cause men and women to give glory and honor to God. And he's going to be a representative of that great and holy Savior. That he's going to be a forerunner of that Christ. That he's going to cause people to prepare a highway in their heart for God. You're telling me that my son is going to make such a difference in this generation. And instead of him embracing that truth, he began to concern himself with his inadequacies as a dad. His inability to be a father. His inability to raise, to even conceive or bear such a child, for his wife to bring this kind of a thing to fruition. He began to concern himself with his own inadequacies. And sometimes God begins to speak to us after years and years of praying. Praying for our sons, praying for our daughters, praying for those who God has given us to maintain and to care for, whether we be legal guardians or whether we have spiritual children. And we hear God saying all of these wonderful things to us. But then we look at our own inadequacies. And we begin to say, God, all of the things that you're saying about this child, all of the things that you're saying about this son, about this daughter, all of the things that you're saying seems to depend upon whether or not I'm adequate to the task. Whether or not I can do this thing. Whether or not it's in my strength to do it. But the angel Gabriel said to him, he said, I am Gabriel. And I stand in the presence of God. He might have said, I know God's testimony. You see, I've been standing with him time after time. He said, you might tell me your testimony, you might tell me your story, you might tell me your weaknesses, you might tell me your inadequacies, but I'm here to tell you that I know God's testimony. He said, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. He said, I remember a man named Abraham not too long ago. And at a certain point, he said that I can't do this thing, oh God. He said, I remember his wife Sarah, how she laughed in the door of the tent. He said, I remember a man named Isaac whose name was laughter and how it was told to him that God was going to do a great and a mighty thing through his wife who had been barren. I remember Jacob who tried this way and that way to make things happen and God told him that he would glorify his name in him notwithstanding. I remember how his wives were fighting Rachel and Leah against one another thinking that they were going to bring in this glorious thing that God said. I remember how God overrode all of their infirmities and all of their inadequacies. I remember how a young child named Moses was cast upon the sea because it was told to him that he would not live past a certain amount of time. And a decree went forth from the mouth of Pharaoh that Moses and no one like him should exist or live. But I remember God stretching forth his hands and causing this young man not only to survive but to thrive, so that he could come forth at a certain stage in his history and speak a word from God and say unto the devil, let my people go that they may worship the Lord my God. He said, I know the testimony of God and how God can begin to work through a young man who was overlooked by his own father, a young man who was guarding the sheep in the wilderness, and nobody seemed to know his name. But a man named Samuel was told, I don't want you to anoint this one or that 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 one. But there is a young man who's guarding the sheep. And I want you to bring that young man in because I have found in him, I have found in David, a man after my own heart. I know the testimony of God. Daniel said, I understood that I cannot go this way or that way, no matter what's placed on the table before me. This was a man who was snatched from his mother's womb, from his mother's bosom, from his mother's house. And yet this man was in a place where God said, even though he is a slave, and most likely in those days he was a eunuch, even though this man would not have the things that ordinarily people look for, he said, I know him. And irrespective of what the world says, I'm going to make something out of him. I'm going to make him a seer. I'm going to make him a visionary. I'm going to make him a prophet. He's going to talk about this son of man. He's going to talk about this rock that would come down from heaven. Gabriel spoke. And he said, I know your testimony, yes. I know your weaknesses, yes. I know your inadequacies, yes. But I stand in the presence of God. And I know the testimony of the Lord. And I know that God is able to raise up people. He's able to take a rod and cause that thing to blossom and to bud. He's able to bring life from death. He's able to speak light out of darkness. He said, I know the testimony of God. But this man chose not to believe at the time. And so God set forth a precaution and said, right now, Zacharias, if you're not ready to speak faith into the life of this young child, and if you're not ready to speak faith into the life of your wife and into the life of your family, then you're going to be quiet for a little while. If you ain't got nothing good to say, then just shut up for a couple minutes. This man had an opportunity, I think, to speak to his child. Even though during those days that he's in the womb, I don't know if that works or not. You know, sometimes you hear people say that even when the child is in the womb, you know, you can hum songs to them and, you know, just sing into it. You know, I experimented with that a little bit. You know what I mean? I doubt if it worked because whenever my baby was eventually born, I tried to sing to her. She just wept and cried and so on and so forth. But I tell you, there is something to be said about speaking faith into the life of someone when they're still in their formative time. While they're still in their gestation period. While they're still just beginning to grow. To have mommy or daddy say, I'm inadequate to the task, but I know God is going to do something in you. I know God is going to raise you. I know God is going to strengthen you. I know you're going to be a light in this generation. I know you're going to be a representative. He wasn't ready at that time to say it. But thank God his wife was. Every now and again, if one person in the family is not ready to say it yet, God will raise up another and they will begin to say it. And initially, when she first heard what God was doing in her, she hid herself as well. Because sometimes when God begins to tell you that you have a responsibility to speak some wonderful words into the life of your son or the life of your daughter, there is this sense that says, I don't want to be seen as boastful, or I don't want to be seen as the kind of person who's trying to push them into anything, or I don't want to do this. And so whenever God was beginning to honor her, she kind of hid herself. It's sort of like Saul whenever he hid himself behind the stuff, whenever God was trying to raise him up. And sometimes God tries to raise you up to prophesy into the life of your son and daughter. When I use the term prophesy, what I'm saying is to say the same thing that God says regarding their life. We're not talking about these trends that go on, these Christian trends that go on where everybody's laying their hands on everybody else. But when you begin to say to your child, to your son, to your daughter, God is going to use you in this generation. God is going to glorify his name through you. You're going to be a light in this time, irrespective of what the world is telling you, that you have no value, that you have no intrinsic or inherent value, that you're just a cosmic accident. I'm telling you that you belong to God, and God is going to use you, and God is going to cause His name to be glorified in you. Sometimes when God causes us to do that type of a thing, sometimes in us we say, oh, I don't want to seem like I'm elevating my child or exalting my child or whatever the case. But you see, when God tells you to speak a word of truth into your child's life, when God tells you, this is what I want you to sing over that child, the same way He rejoices over us with singing, this is what I want you to do with your child. I want you to rejoice over them with singing. Hey, that's not pride. That's not arrogancy. That's simply doing what God has told you to do. That's simply allowing the fact that God has called you as a particular minister in your child's life to manifest itself. Ultimately, that's what's going on there. God is saying, I want you to glorify my name. I want it to be seen that the Lord has chosen to honor you with this particular ministry. I want it to be known. And so eventually she begins to come out. And I want to suggest to you that this prophecy begins to become more and more real in her life whenever she begins to gather around with other godly people who have a similar or the same commission. The Bible says at a certain point, she gets together with Mary. Mary comes over to her house. And when Mary comes over to her house, because the Christ child is in Mary's womb, whenever John the Baptist that's in Elizabeth's womb recognizes the presence of God, he leaps, the Bible says, in the womb. I want to suggest to you that one of the best ways that you and I can prophesy over our children, and one of the best ways to see those prophecies come to pass, is that we find ourselves in godly community where everybody is bearing witness to these truths, where people are looking at one another's children and looking out for one another's children, and they're saying, God has got a plan for your life. God is going to do a wonderful thing in your life. God is going to glorify His name in your life. We're not necessarily saying to this person, you're going to do this particular thing or that particular thing, but you are going to be a light in this generation in whatever way God chooses. However God chooses, God is going to bless you. God is going to strengthen you. And she got into this community with this godly woman. The Bible says for 3 months they stood together. And I'm sure they strengthened each other and encouraged each other. All you have to do is look at the text and know that they blessed each other and they spoke words over each other and their children just heard it. What happens when our children come to a church and there's not bickering, there's not complaining, there's not murmuring, there's not gossiping. Instead, they're strengthening, there's edifying, there's lifting one another up. And there's this loving of one another and of one another's children. And we're embracing one another and we're embracing one another's children. And we're saying these things. All of a sudden, the children begin to leap with joy. They begin to rejoice with joy. They begin to say, this is the house of God. And maybe some of the things that mom and dad has been saying to me, maybe those things will come to pass. Maybe God will be glorified in my life. Maybe somehow God will cause His name to be known through me. Maybe somehow I will represent Him in this society. Maybe somehow somebody will know that there is such an one as God through my life. They begin to believe it. Because they're not being beaten over the head with gossip and murmuring and slander. But they're being embraced. The word is going forth. And then the Bible talks about Elizabeth as being filled with the Holy Ghost whenever this thing happened. And I tell you, one of the best ways to see the prophecies that God has given us for our children come to pass is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, I tell you, there ain't nothing like a Holy Ghost filled parent speaking a word of God over their son and over their daughter. Somebody immersed in the way of the Lord and in the presence of the Lord. Somebody filled to overflowing with the truth of God. So that no matter what God says to their heart, irrespective of anything that might try and come against it, they are so filled with this truth, so filled with this promise, so filled with this hope, so filled with this joy that it overflows in rivers throughout the house. They begin to pray for their son or for their daughter. They begin to believe for their son or for their daughter. They began to overflow all through that house. Oh, and that glorious presence, that glorious oil begins to flow. And that oil has this capacity to seep under doors, under bedroom doors that are locked and with the sign, keep out over them. That Holy Ghost oil is able to seep under those doors and be able to say, now you remember what mommy said to you? You remember what daddy said to you? That you would be a light in this generation. I don't care what your favorite rap star happens to be saying over the airwaves right now. You heard what God said through your mother and through your father. The word of God has the capacity to out-rap any rapper when God begins to speak. Hallelujah. And when his word begins to go forth. Hallelujah. From a Holy Ghost mom and dad. When that word begins to go forth, oh, it's hard to shake. You can take my word for it. It's hard to shake. You can run, but you can't hide. That oil will follow you everywhere you go. Hallelujah. When you begin to speak that word over your child, over your son, over your daughter, understand that what's going on here, it's not even going on, as it were, as a direct communication to John. These are words that are being spoken about him. Being spoken about him in the prayer closet. Being spoken about him to one another. To prayer partners. To people who would stand alongside you when you say about that son or about that daughter who's already experimenting with drugs and alcohol, that they will be a light, that they will follow Jesus, that they will be turned, that their hearts will once again fear in the presence of the Most High God and tremble in His sight. They will turn. When you say about that son or that daughter who's already having some struggles with the law, that one who you have to call every now and again in the prison house, that one that you have to write to every now and again, God has spoken a word to you that they will serve God, that they will be born again, that they will be redeemed, that they will believe in God. When God speaks that word to you, sometimes you got to rehearse it in the ear of somebody who will dare to pray with you. Somebody who will dare to believe with you. Somebody who will not let go, but who will keep on, keeping on with you. Somebody who believes in the power of God. And to say that there is no pit so deep that God cannot find the lost soul who is in it. God has spoken a word to you. And you and I need always to persist in that word. Somebody came to her and said, what's your son's name? And if she wanted to, she could have said, drug addict. She could have said alcoholic. She could have said convict. She could have said porn addict. She could have said rebellious. She could have said rejected. But she said his name is John. Now somebody said to her, now you know there ain't nobody in your family named John. Now there's somebody in your family named drug addict. And there's somebody in your family named alcoholic. And there's somebody in your family named this and that. But you know there ain't nobody in your family that's been serving God. And there ain't nobody in your lineage that's been doing the right thing. How dare you call his name John when there ain't nobody in your family named John? And sometimes the enemy will try and come against you in that way. He'll say, there ain't nobody in your family that's ever served God with all of their heart and all of their might. But you will say, but God has chosen to save me. And at this stage, everything in our history changes. Right here, right now, everything is made new. This is the dawn of a new day. And the buck stops here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you can get the ID cards ready and the Social Security cards ready and everything else, because I'm telling you right here, right now, his name is John. Now I know somebody called me from the courts and told me that his name is number 4, 5, 7, 8, 12 or whatever the case. But I've heard a word from God. His name is John. And she would not let go. She would not relent, because God told her what his name was. God told her that I have named him myself. I've heard what the world has called him. I've heard what he's called himself. And I've heard even in times of your weakness what you've called him. But now here he says to us what I call him. I'm telling you, my brother and my sister, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, his name is John. And she says to her husband, in essence, I need you now. I know it's hard to believe sometimes. I know it seems to go against nature sometimes. I know it seems to go against history sometimes, but I need you now. I need you to get behind me, because I can't do this alone. I cannot do this alone. You saw that beautiful woman praying a little while ago, weeping in tears. I tell you, brother and sister, if she wasn't standing beside me, I would have absolutely no hope. And I hear, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I hear Elizabeth saying to Zechariah, Zechariah, I have stood my ground. I have prayed and I have pleaded. Mary and I have gotten together day after day after day after day. And we've sought God and we sought God. And I've been standing up against these people who are telling me that I need to name him something else. And I just need you to get up and to get beside me right now. I need you to believe with me right now. And they began to motion to him. What is his name? What is his name? And he could have said in his pride and arrogance, well, what's my name? You know what I mean? That's my son. His name is Zechariah, like mine is. Which means all of my inadequacies are passed on to him. And all of my folly is passed on to him. He was a good man. You understand, Zechariah was a good man. But you see, when it comes down to the promise of God, it's got to be the Spirit of God that moves from one person, and then this person prays over the other person, and then the Spirit of God moves, you know, as it were, from heaven to that person, and the Spirit of God moves, and he said, you know what, I love the Lord, I bless the Lord, but there are things that I've had some struggles believing in, and he said, I don't want to pass that on to my son. I've had some struggles believing that my son would even exist, much less do these things that God said. I don't want to pass my doubts and my fears on to my son. I don't want you to call him by my name. I want you to call him by the name that God has given him. He said, his name is John. I want to suggest to you, my brother and my sister, that there comes a time when family must get together. When husband and wife must get together. When those people who are called to be spiritual fathers and mothers must get together, must be of the same mind and of the same accord. Those who are called to be guardians must be of the same mind and of the same accord and say together, 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 his name is John. If you're a single parent, don't be unequally yoked with people who are not believing for your children, who won't believe you when you say his name is John. Get together, if you're an Elizabeth, get together with a Mary and pray and believe. Get together with other Christian people who are believing for their children. But particularly, I say to you, if you're a mom and a dad, a husband and a wife, would you recognize how much you need each other when you speak these words of life over your son and over your daughter? When you say that you are who God said you are. There was a harmony, and then there was this evidence that God was moving in their community, because the Bible said that this man's mouth was opened at that stage. This man that used to doubt, that used to worry, that used to wonder, all of a sudden he's beginning to speak words. And these are not normal words now. And they're not words of simple concession. Okay, his name is John because I want to talk. No, no, no. There is a prophecy that begins to go forth. A word that comes forth because he finally says amen to what God says. You see, that's the true spirit of prophecy. The Bible says that the true spirit of prophecy is simply the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that's what Gabriel said to him. I stand in the presence of the Lord. I know God's testimony, and I simply want to share that testimony with you. That we serve a good God and a faithful God. And so he begins to open up his mouth and he begins to prophesy to that very effect. He begins to talk about the covenant loyalty of God. How God makes a promise and keeps it. How God spoke a word to Israel and he did it. And he begins to recount all those things that we talked about and more. He begins to talk about how when God speaks a word, he is able and willing to fulfill it. My brother and my sister Christian, God has spoken a word regarding your children. This is not a maybe. God has spoken a word regarding your children. He is not willing that any should perish, and he is not looking for you to leave your children behind. No matter what state they might be in. He said that God saw Israel in his worst state and yet came to fulfill the promise that he made to Abraham, the promise that he made to their father. He made a promise to their father. And how many times do you read in your Bible where God would say to the people of Israel, for Abraham's sake, and for Isaac's sake, and for Jacob's sake, and for David's sake, I will do this thing. God will bless your children for your sake. God will bless your children because you choose to believe. But now it's up to you to speak a word over their life. And then finally he begins to speak directly to this child. This child is not able to understand the language per se, but he begins to speak to him as soon as he comes out of the womb. He began to prophesy over him. I remember when my little daughter was born and I was holding her in my arms. And I began singing my song, and she started crying, but I kept on singing. Believe me, your children gonna cry sometime in your arms while you're singing that song, but you just keep on keeping on. You keep singing that song. And I was singing that song, we praise you, O Lord, for the son of your love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Because if I don't see revival in this generation, my little girl will. But I believe that we will. I believe we're going to see it on this side of eternity. But I began to pray that prayer, God, let her be a part of this great revival. Let her be a part of this thing that God is going to do. Lord, let her, if she's one of the few people that can get under the radar of our public schools that's telling us that we can't prophesy, let her go in and prophesy in the name of the Lord. They can't do anything about little children going in and preaching this gospel. They can't illegalize that. Hallelujah. Give glory to God. I said, God, would you cause her to be a part of this great revival? And she's crying and everything. And she's saying, Daddy, I don't want to do this. I just want to go to sleep. And that's what your children are going to do sometimes. You're going to be prophesying over them. You're going to be praying for them. And they're going to be, I don't want nothing to do with this Jesus and so on and so forth. Hey, but you're going to keep on singing. No matter how they cry. No matter what the circumstance, you keep singing. You keep singing. You keep singing. You keep singing. Because you are their primary ministers. According to the word of God, according to what we read in the book of Deuteronomy in the 6th chapter, you are the primary minister. And he said, keep on keeping on. Don't stop singing. He said, when you walk down the road, you sing your song. When you are going to bed, you sing your song. When you rise in the morning, you sing your song. When you sit down to meal, you sing your song. You never stop singing your song. You tell them what God has done. You tell them about how he brought you over. You tell them about the great signs and wonders. You tell them about how he destroyed all of the gods of Pharaoh. You tell them about how he opened up that Red Sea and how you passed over dry shod. You tell them about how he caused all of the armies of Pharaoh to be drowned into the sea. You tell them about what God has done for you. You sing your song. Sing it. I don't care. If they say, I'm tired of this old song, I want to hear my rap music, you sing your song. You tell him what God has done. He begins to sing over this young man. He talks about the covenant loyalty of God. He talks about the Christocentrality of the people of Israel. He talks about the great salvation of Christ, and he says Christ is the center. I want you to understand, son, he says, that as much as God is doing in your life, remember that Christ is the center. Remember that he is first and foremost. Remember that there is none to take his place. And he begins to say how this young man would begin to represent Christ in this generation and, as it were, be a forerunner of him. He said, your life is going to cause people to recognize that there is such an one as God. You know, it's a strange thing. We heard the video not too long ago, and we hear some of the young people say, I want to be free to smoke, and I want to be free to drink. And, you know, but if you take them a half a block down the street, and you show them somebody who's a drug addict or somebody who's an alcoholic, you're going to listen to that person say, I want to be free to stop smoking, and I want to be free to stop drinking. You know, it's like somebody who says, I want to be free to jump off this cliff. Problem is, when you're halfway down, you're not free to spread wings and fly. Said to that young child, in this generation, you're going to show them what real freedom is. You're going to show them what it means to mount up with wings as eagles. You're going to show them what real freedom is. He goes on to say to them, and you're going to speak some words to them. You'll see it in your text. You're going to reveal the Christ to them. You're going to go, he said, into dark places, and you're going to show the mercy of God. Into those places where the people sat in darkness, you're going to talk to them about the day spring from on high. You're going to talk to them about this Jesus. You're going to prepare people's hearts for God. You're going to cause people to know their Lord. You're going to cause fathers and sons to be reunited. You're going to cause men and women to once again recognize the awesome majesty of God. You're going to cause people to praise God again because God is with you. The Spirit of God is upon you. You're going to make a difference in this generation. You are going to make a difference when you begin to tell your children that they believe it. They believe it because they want to believe everything that you say. But when you say it in the power of the Holy Ghost, it simply bears witness to what God is already saying. And then finally, I want to suggest to you that the Bible says that this man was in the wilderness for a time, being prepared to be this thing that God said that he would be. And sometimes you're going to find your children in a kind of a wilderness. But remember what the Lord said, and remember how he acted in the days of old. Those children did not die in the wilderness. Caleb could have told you that. Joshua told us that in his book. They did not die in the wilderness, and your children will not die. Die either. You put your trust in God. You keep praying for them. You hold on and don't let go. You fight for their life every day. If your child goes 3 or 4 days without eating because they're hooked on crack, you go 3 or 4 days without eating because you're fasting for their soul. You do whatever it takes. You fight this fight. Fight this fight. Because God has told you to speak a word over their life. God has told you to pray for them. God has told you to believe for them. God has told you to honor the promise that he made to you regarding them. Your children are not going to die, brother and sister. The question is, are you going to obey God? See, Joshua said to the house of Israel in that day, your children are not going to die. The question is, what are you going to do? Now, I know you. You're good people and a godly people. And I know that you're going to pray and you're going to believe. You're going to trust God for the life of your children. Am I giving you a guarantee saying that everybody who prays for their child is certainly going to go to heaven? I'm telling you a biblical principle. And I'm telling you that God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. I'm telling you that God is mighty to save. That God is an awesome and a powerful God. I mentioned on Friday night, and I'll say this in closing, we've gotten to a point where we've transistorized everything. You know what I mean? I don't know if transistor is even a concept anymore. But we've made everything so small that we can just clip it to our belt and go on our way. And I think sometimes we've done that with our God. We've forgotten that He's able to save to the uttermost. That He's able to go to the deepest pit and to pull a person out from the most difficult set of circumstances. I'm telling you, my brother, my sister, don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Don't stop prophesying. Don't stop speaking the word of God. Don't stop writing in your letters to your son, to your daughter, how much God loves them. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Hold on. Hold on. Because God is going to do a mighty thing. God is going to do a wonderful thing. God is going to do a healing work. And you're going to see the glory of God in this generation. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask you to do a certain thing tonight. I feel the power and the presence of God to heal and to believe. I sense the power and the presence of God in this house. To begin to break bonds even right now. I believe in my heart in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that somebody is going to be set free tonight. That we are going to be able to say along with Gabriel that I stand in the presence of God and I can talk to you tonight about His testimony. I can tell you about His delivering power. Somebody is going to be given a story tonight. Somebody is going to be given a witness tonight. Somebody is going to be able to testify about the awesome majesty and the great power of God tonight to break bonds that seemed like they could never be broken. To free young men and women who felt like they would never be free. To break the bonds of addiction. To break the bonds of rebellion. To break the bonds of hard memories and fears and doubts. Tonight, I'm going to ask you to come to the front of this auditorium. Stand in proxy for your son, for your daughter. To stand in proxy on their behalf, and we are going to simply rehearse the words of God regarding their life. We are simply going to rehearse those words back to God in prayer. And we're going to say, God, You made a promise to me. I know You made a promise to me. You caused me to believe for my son. You caused me to believe for my daughter. No matter what the difficulty, no matter what the hardship, You caused me to believe, oh God. And this faith that You've given me is not about to die. Not about to die tonight. The fire of God will not go out. God, You spoke a word to me. You spoke a word. Come to this auditorium. Come to the front of this place. God is going to do a miracle tonight. I believe it. I believe it. I've heard it from God. Somebody is going to be saved tonight. Some heart is going to be free tonight. Some life is going to be changed tonight. Some son, some daughter is going to be renewed tonight. Some soul is going to be given a new life, a new hope tonight. I believe in God tonight. There is faith in this house tonight. My brother and my sister, no matter how long you've been praying, God is moving in this house tonight to heal, to strengthen, to encourage, to empower. God is in the midst tonight. I'm believing for a mighty sign and wonder. Continue to come. Stand on behalf of your son. Stand on behalf of your daughter. Even as you are already at this altar, would you begin to pray from the depths of your heart? Begin to pray from the depths of your heart. God, you made a promise to me. You spoke it to my heart. I know that I have been believing in prayer for a reason. Lord, you put this hope in my heart. You put this desire in my heart. You told me that I would not leave this place alone, that I would not leave my son and my daughter behind. God, you told me that I would be able to see them glorify God on this side of eternity. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am simply believing you. I am going to say what you said. God, when you spoke to Moses or spoke through Moses and said, we are not leaving one behind. Not one hoof would be left behind, much less any of our children. God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we stand in proxy for our children. Lord, for our biological children, for our adopted children, Lord, for our spiritual children, for those that we've taken under our wing, even in this church community, those that we have been given to pray for, God, in the name of Jesus, even those children that we see as we walk along the street, those ones that you placed on our heart, you've given us a burden for their soul. God, in the name of Jesus, we prophesy over them and we say, your name is John, irrespective of what this society has to say. Your name is John, irrespective of what your own flesh has to say. Your name is John, God, in the name of Jesus. And by the power of the great God, we believe you for a great sign and wonder. Lord, you spoke to us regarding our children. You've spoken to some of us and said that they would be missionaries. You've spoken to others and said that they would be preachers. You've spoken to others and said that they would be singers. You've spoken to others and said that they would, in their respective workplaces, give glory and honor to God. You spoke, oh God, and told us to hope. You've told us to believe, oh God. And we will not leave our children behind. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Cause our hearts to prophesy over them and to say with regard to them that your name is John. Oh, Spirit of God, we pray right now that you break bondages right now, oh God, in Jesus' name and for your own glory's sake. Break bondages, oh God. God, free men and women today. Free young people today, oh God, wherever they are. God, there is no pit so deep. God, wherever they happen to be right now, whoever they happen to be laying with right now, whatever they happen to be sticking into their veins or breathing into their lungs right now, God, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, oh God, we travail over those children. And we believe you for mighty signs and wonders. We believe you for great testimonies. God, in the name of Jesus, we say along with Elizabeth and with Zechariah, his name is John. God, we believe you for our sons and our daughters. We believe you for our nieces and nephews, our grandchildren. God, we believe you. We believe you for our brothers and sisters. We believe you. We believe you. We believe you. We believe you tonight, oh God. We thank you. We thank you in faith. We thank you. Lift your voice and thank God. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for hearing our prayer. And our Father, finally, we simply pray. Don't let us lose our song. Keep us singing the song of Zechariah. Keep us singing our song, Lord, even if our children seem tired of hearing that same old song. God, keep us singing our song. God, keep us singing it. Let us sing it in tender mercy and in patience, knowing that sometimes our children have got to go through a wilderness before they finally go forth of that thing. But God, whatever the case, let us not stop singing that song. Let us sing it in mercy. Let us sing it in compassion. Let us sing it in tender love. Let us sing it in patience. God, but let us sing our song. Let us sing the song that you taught us. You taught us to sing that song. And God, as our pastor said, you wouldn't teach us to sing such a song just so that it can go flat, oh God. You taught us to sing this song so that we might sing it with our children someday. God, and for those who are here whose children are walking with the Lord and who believe God with all their heart, God, would you continue to cause parents to prophesy over children and even children to prophesy over parents and to say the thing that God has said that he would do in your life, he will do it. Now, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that we can love you. We put all of our hope in you now. God, would you be glorified? Would you be glorified? God, would you cause us and our children to see the glory of God on this side of eternity? God, we know we will see your glory forever and forevermore. But God, even on this side of eternity, revive us again, oh God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. The Lord Jesus bless you. Hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of the message.